We're talking about barn quilts on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Thanks for being here. They are quilt blocks painted on wooden squares, and each one tells a story. Each one is carefully crafted and to reflect the sponsor and it lasting for generations on that barn. There are now 43 states with quilt trails, including our friends over in Minnesota, Iowa, and Michigan. And we're on a tour of the ones in Shawano County, which hails itself as Wisconsin's barn quilt capital. Have you seen the quilt squares on barns in Shawano County? What is your impression of them? What's your favorite one? We're at 800-642-1234. Jim Leuenberger is a writer and photographer. He helped start the Shawano County Barn Quilt Project, and he wrote a book, photographed a book as well, called The Barn Quilts of Shawano County, Wisconsin. Jim, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you very much.
So for those who are not familiar with barn quilts, put a picture in our mind's eye, if you will. Explain what they look like.
A barn quilt is actually a quilt block or quilt pattern painted on 2 4x8 sheets of plywood. I draw a pattern on the plywood, and then I paint the barn quilt on the boards, and then we put them up on the barn.
And you go through a lot of painter's tape, I would imagine.
Well, we started the project in 2010, and for some reason I decided to save all the tape that we have used to do the quilts. And so I have a kind of a tape sculpture in the basement at the Shawano Chamber where I do the painting. And there are now over 30,000 feet of tape in that particular little sculpture.
Okay, wait, is that sculpture taller than you?
No, you know, it's kind of funny. You expect that it would keep getting taller, but the tape keeps settling, so it's not getting any taller, but it's certainly getting a lot heavier.
Oh, it kind of sounds like us as we age, huh?
I'm not going to comment on that.
I think we're slightly off course here. So, you know, back to these barn quilts. You know, you have more than 300 now in Shawano County. Did you ever imagine that you would hit, you know, hundreds of them?
Not really. When I started the project in 2010, you know, people said, well, how many of these are you going to have? And I had no idea what kind of acceptance we would have. I mean, Shawano has always been a big dairy county, so there are lots and lots of nice old historic barns in the county. Unfortunately, a lot of them don't have cows in anymore, but many of them have been restored or kept up very well. So we had an opportunity to have a lot of barn quilts, but I really didn't have an idea how many we would have. So I told people, well, I hope we can get at least 25. Well, in our first full year in 2011, we put up 96. So,
ooh, that was a busy year.
That was a busy year. Yeah, my wife and I were spending several hours a day painting quilts during that particular year.
What kind of paint do you use on these? Because these are really vibrant colors on these barn quilts.
It's just exterior paint, Pittsburgh paints. We get them from a local dealer here in town called Deerco. It's where we buy our paint. But it's exterior latex semi-gloss paint. And one of the reasons I think that they're so vibrant and colorful is because we do put three coats of each color of paint on the quilt. We prime the boards before we do the painting, but then we put three coats of each color for the particular pattern.
We're talking with Jim Leuenberger. He is a writer and photographer who has been leading the Shawano County Barn Quilt Project. Have you seen the quilt squares on barns in Shawano County and across Wisconsin? What is your impression of them? Which one is your favorite? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Jim, I understand you were inspired by barn quilts you've seen in other states and other places. What was that inspiration from?
Well, I like, as you said, I'm a writer and a photographer as well. And when we were we've been driving around in other states and in southern Wisconsin, we saw barn quilts. So I was taking pictures of them. I mean, I enjoy taking pictures of things like that. And I don't know. I just came home one day in June of 2010 and told Irene that I was just going to see if I could get a barn quilt project going. And The way we started it is in some states, 4-H clubs have done a quilt as a club project. So I met with the Shawano County 4-H Leaders Association and explained to them what barn quilts were all about. And 10 of the 25 clubs at that time said they would like to do one. So that's what really started the project in 2010. We had three of them done by 4-H clubs in 2010. But yes, I had seen quilts, and you know, there's a lot of them in southern Wisconsin. There's a lot of quilts in Iowa, and we've been in other states where we've seen barn quilts. So they're just something that's so nice to see when you're driving around the country, and I thought it'd be something that would add to Shawano County.
And now you're painting in the basement of the Chamber of Commerce, is that right?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. Go ahead.
They have a really nice relatively new building, and when I approached them about the quilts, they thought this would be something that would be good for tourism, and they said, well, if unless you have someplace else to paint them, you can utilize part of our basement. And so that has really been great, because at one point we were painting 5 quilts at a time, so we needed a lot of space. We needed a place that was nice and cool in the summer and warm in the winter and dry and clean and bright and all that. And so they let me come to there anytime I want, and I can work on quilts. And that's been a really big help for the project.
It's like in your artist studio.
Yes, exactly. It's my home away from home.
What does your wife, Irene, think of all of this? That's what I want to know.
Well, when we first started, when I came up with it, I said, she says, well, who's going to paint these? And I said, well, we are. And she said, well, who's we? Well, it turned out that the we is her and me. So we've painted probably we have 352 quilts up. We're going to actually put up 2 more this morning. But we've painted probably out of the 350-some, we've probably painted 325 of them. So, yeah, we've spent a lot of time there, but it's been a lot of fun.
Well, if you could take us through the artistic part of the process, how are the squares designed? How do you come up with the pattern?
If people don't have an idea of what they want for a quilt block pattern, I do have a book, believe it or not, that has 5,000 patterns in it, not specifically for barn quilts, but just quilt blocks. And so when somebody wants a quilt, I have them meet me at the chamber so they can see where I do the painting. And then I've picked out of those 5,000, I don't expect them to go through 5,000 patterns. They would go crazy. So I picked out, I don't know, anywhere from 20 to 50 patterns that I know would look nice and would be colorful and relatively easy to lay out the pattern. And so we start going through them, and then usually they find one they like, and then from there I lay out the pattern on the plywood and get it taped off and then start the painting. So my biggest thing that I had to learn was that, you know, I'm starting with like a 2-inch square quilt block image, and I had to figure out how to, in proportion, turn that into an 8-foot square. So my math skills have gotten a lot better, I'll tell you that.
We are on a tour of barn quilts with Jim Leuenberger as our guide. He leads the Shawano County Barn Quilt Project. There are hundreds of barn quilts on display in the county. Do you have a barn quilt on display on your barn? Tell us its story and how you went about the design of the pattern. Have you been on a scavenger hunt to find each barn quilt square? Tell us about your progress. Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute. More Wisconsin Weekend ahead here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're on a barn quilt tour on this edition of Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. There are now 20 counties here in Wisconsin that have barn quilts on display. These are the vibrant quilt-style designs painted on an 8x8 piece of plywood. And Shawano County has hundreds of them dotting the countryside. Do you have a barn quilt near you? Do they add something to your autumn drives? Would you like to add a painted quilt square to your barn or get involved in the project? What questions do you have? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Perhaps you have been thinking about putting a barn quilt on your barn, on your farm. What was that project like, and what was the process like of designing your barn quilt? Join in at 800-642-1234. We've been talking with Jim Leuenberger. He helped start the Shawano County Barn Quilt Project, and he also wrote a book on barn quilts of Shawano County, and that book came out in 2015. Jim, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great. Can you tell us about your book that you did on barn quilts?
The book I put together is a book that has a picture of each of the barn quilts that we have in Shawano County, along with the name of the sponsor, where the quilt is located, a little history of the farm, and maybe why they picked the particular quilt pattern they did. And it also has a map that shows where all of the quilts are located. So people can get a book at the Shawano Chamber, or they can also buy it on eBay, as a matter of fact. And then they can drive around Shawano County and take a look at the quilts.
What are some of the more compelling stories that have stuck out to you through the decade, a story of behind a barn quilt that is so meaningful to you?
Every quilt that we've done has a story, and it's really amazing that the people I've met, first of all, because of the quilts. But one that really hit home to me was we had put up a quilt between Bondiwell and Green Bay, and I had the what I usually do is I when we put the quilt up, I take a picture of the people with the quilt on the barn. And this particular quilt had been sponsored by a credit union, so some of the board members from the credit union were there to see the quilt go up and to have their picture taken. And so we had it all done, and I got the information I needed. And so we were driving away, and the car in front of me all of a sudden stopped just on right near the farm. And the gentleman in the car got out of the car, and he walked back to my car. And I rolled down the window, and I said, yes. And he said, well, I just wanted to let you know how much these barn quilts of yours mean to people. And I said, well, that's great, but what exactly do you mean? And he said, well, I lost my wife about 3 weeks ago, and one of the last things she wanted me to do for her before she died was to drive around and look at the barn quilts.
Oh, I mean, wow.
A story like that, why wouldn't I want to keep doing them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. And there are other stories like that. It's amazing what a lot of these quilts have meant to people.
It sounds as if, too, that you'll need to be adding on to your book based on the pace you put these barn quilts up.
Well, my first printing of the book was 5,000, and we're almost out of them. So, yes, sometime next year I'm going to update the book. And by then we'll probably have, well, I know we're going to have 360 quilts in Shawano County by the end of the year. And so whatever number we're at sometime in the middle of next year, I'll update the book, you bet.
Well, let's look at the tourism aspect here. There are now events based on viewing the barn quilt squares. There's a bus tour, I understand.
Actually, we have several bus tours during the year from all over the Midwest. Many of them come specifically just to see the barn quilts, which is, again, amazing to me. And most of the time, Irene and I are available, so I act as the tour guide, and she acts as the navigator. And we drive around for anywhere from 2 to 4 hours talking about the quilts, and we'll stop at a number of them. And explain the stories behind them, like the one I just told. So, yeah, the tourism aspect has been amazing. It really has. We've had people, like I said, from all over the Midwest and other parts of the country come just to see our quilts. And then an event that we started about 4 or 5 years ago there's a group in Shawano called Shawano Pathways who are they promote being active, having an active lifestyle, and especially riding a bicycle. So they started a Bike the Barn Quilts event, which is held the last Saturday of every September. And this year, I think we had 168 people go on this.
Riders.
And riders, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's like 6 or 7 different routes they can take, depending on how avid a biker they are. The longest one is 70 miles. The shortest one, I think, is 5 miles. So, yeah, it's been a wonderful event, and it certainly helped tourism, that's for sure.
We're talking with Jim Leuenberger, who is behind over 300 barn quilts in Shawano County, and we're exploring the origin story of barn quilts in Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Jim, you've probably traversed every single road in Shawano County by this point.
Yes, we've been on roads that we were never on before, but that brings up a good point. One of the things I wanted to do from the start of this project is to get people out on the back roads. Shawano County is a beautiful county. It's 900 square miles, and there's beautiful colors in the fall. There's lots of maple trees, so we have beautiful colors in the fall. Even the winters are pretty, if you can believe that. But we wanted to get a lot of the quilts on the back roads for that particular reason. We wanted them to enjoy the beauty of Shawano County. Of course, we did put some on the main roads, like Highway 29, just to get exposure and so people could see them and maybe stop at the chamber and find out what they're all about. But, yeah, we want people to get on their bikes or their motorcycles or their cars or whatever, just to drive around and look at the beauty of Shawano County. And hopefully the quilts have added to that.
Jim, how has this project brought Shawano County closer together as a community?
It's been amazing the support we've had from the community throughout the whole county. We've had a lot of a lot of businesses sponsor quilts. Most of the quilts are sponsored by the barn owners themselves, but there are a lot of businesses, financial institutions, those kinds of things who have sponsored a quilt. Many individuals have sponsored quilts. We've had people from other parts of the state who don't even live in Shawano County sponsor a quilt. They come up here for vacation or whatever, or they might have a cabin on a lake, and they like the quilt so much they've wanted to sponsor them. So the support of the community has been amazing. And another thing, aspect of our project that is so neat, is that I do write an article about the project or about the individual quilt, putting some information about the history of the farm, why they chose the particular quilt pattern. And again, I get a picture of the people with their quilt. And our local newspaper has printed every single one of those articles.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So we really have a nice history of all these farms that have barn quilts.
Let's go to Cheryl now, joining us from Watertown. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you this morning?
Great. What about barn quilts?
Well, I've never heard of barn quilts, Jim, until right now. And I'm driving, but
really?
I do have pretty good reception. Yeah. And I'm intrigued with what you're doing because we purchased a property. I'm not in Shawano County. We're in Jefferson County. And I really purchased it because I fell in love with the barn. It's a large old barn, and I want to keep it restored. I love the barn. We have a little Cream City farmhouse on the property. But I would love to consider a barn quilt on our barn.
Cheryl, you totally need a barn quilt. Jim, how does she do this?
I are there other barn quilts in Shawano or in Jefferson County?
Not that I know of, Jim. But again, we just moved there within the last year, and so
okay.
I haven't explored as much as I would like to. However, we are on a county road that's pretty well traveled. A lot of bicyclists, motorcyclists, because it is a beautiful county road.
Yeah.
And I would love to be able to share that with people that drive by our barn.
Cheryl, that is awesome. And Jim, we're short on time, but what would be your best tip for people like Cheryl who might want a barn quilt on their barn?
I actually put together a set of guidelines on how to do a barn quilt. And if somebody outside of Shawano County would like to do one, they're not that hard to do, they could contact the Shawano Chamber and get emailed a set of these guidelines to do a quilt.
Perfect. Well, Jim, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Jim Leuenberger helped start the Shawano County Barn Quilt Project that is going strong for the past decade, and his 2015 book is called The Barn Quilts of Shawano County, Wisconsin. Coming up, we travel around the state to local breweries, and we discuss what makes a great beer for the season. Which brewery produced your favorite Oktoberfest beer this year? Which brews are you still drinking or storing for later? Join in at 800-642-1234. There's more Wisconsin Weekend with seasonal brews right after this news update here on the Ideas Network. As the temps drop and leaves change color, Wisconsin craft breweries, they're busy serving up their unique tastes of the season. And we're talking about autumn beers here on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What beers do you enjoy drinking in the fall? Do you say goodbye to certain beers as the summer comes to a close? Which ones do you stop drinking? Do you have a favorite Oktoberfest beer? We're at 800-642-1234. Go ahead and join in. Chris Drosner is executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine, a longtime reviewer of Wisconsin brews, and he joins us from WPR's studios in Milwaukee. Chris, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
So what kind of flavors and textures or other qualities do you want in a true autumn beer?
You know, there's nothing... For a long time, I kind of believed that there was nothing really inherent to any season about beer, but once it gets into fall, I kind of start to change my tune a little bit. Like this is the time for, to me, one of the big things is color. Like you kind of want a beer that's copper, orange, amber, that kind of in that range of what feels like the right thing for fall. And usually that comes along with kind of some caramely toffee flavors and, it's the malt that gives it, that gives those beers that color.
Yeah, and maybe a little maltier.
Yep, definitely. A little bit heartier.
Yeah, a little more filling. So where does the Märzen style come in with, the German references here?
Yeah, the Oktoberfest is, as they're usually called in America, this is the greatest seasonal style. It's the king of seasonal beers as far as sales go. By quite a wide margin. And, it traces all the way back to, Germany. The Oktoberfest that we know and reference all the time in America and really replicate across the country, is a celebration of the marriage of Crown Prince Ludwig way back in the 19th century. And, that beer is called Märzen because it's brewed in March. That's the German word for March.
Mm-hmm. And it's brewed in March because why?
It's a lager, so it needs to age. Back in those days, those were in the cellars and the caves over the summer, and it was better to brew beer for fall. In the early spring when it was still cool.
So how did autumn become craft beer's like most popular seasonal style? Why have they really rallied around fall?
I think it's that beer. I think it's that individual beer style that really kind of became, that created the primacy of fall. It's just a great style. It's a lager, so it's really easy to drink. There were really well-established versions of this beer that a lot of American drinkers already knew. From Hacker Shore is a great one. Polliner, a lot of the great German breweries that were distributing beer in the United States had really excellent versions of this beer. And the attributes of the Oktoberfest style or the Märzen style are pretty widely appealing. You know, a little bit of caramely toffee sweetness, some maltiness, a little bit more body. But it's a very well balanced beer, and it's pretty easy to put several liters back, as you see at Munich's Oktoberfest, obviously.
Most Wisconsin brewers, do they produce autumn seasonals? Is this pretty popular among our brewers here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, with our German heritage, there's a lot of breweries in Wisconsin that have been making Oktoberfest or Marzen beers for quite a long time. I mean, I think that this style kind of, the rest of the country was kind of playing catch up with this style a little bit. You know, some of the great craft versions of the Oktoberfest style that I think of are, you know, as far as the national brands are, you know, Boston, Samuel Adams has had one for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's not a lot of ones that are not, that are really well known, that are not upper Midwestern in origin. And there's a whole bunch of really great ones from Wisconsin breweries as well.
We're talking about Autumn Brews with Chris Drosner. He's executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine. You can join in. What are your favorite beers to drink in the fall? Have you tried an Oktoberfest brew this year? Are you stocking up from any Wisconsin breweries? Join in, share your likes and your dislikes. 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in PJ now from Nina. Hi, PJ.
Good morning.
All right. So what autumn beer do you enjoy?
Well, it's a new one from Emprise Brew Mill in Menasha in a historic building. They call it the Viscount Melbourne. It's dark, complex, rich. They brew all their beers in-house, and it's an imperial double porter. It's impossible to describe, but it's so complex and good. And I'm not a big drinker, so I'm all about the flavor.
Do you like to go there and enjoy it in the environment? Does environment have anything to do with this?
Yes, it does. This is a historic building. They kept all the original infrastructure, the old carved dark wooden bar from the 19th century, stamped tin ceiling, an old mural on one brick wall. Yeah, the atmosphere is a big part, and the food is good. But, yeah, this is... You know, when I tasted that, it's just like, wow, I didn't know beer could taste like that in Melbourne. Although they have like a dozen that they brew at any one time, you know, different tastes for different people. That's their October beer.
Chris, what about Emprise Brew Mill? Have you been there?
I have not, and I actually have not heard of that one. So I'll have to put it on the list next time I'm swinging through the Fox Cities.
Yeah, put it on the radar. I understand Sierra Nevada Brewing is collaborating with German breweries to produce new autumn seasonals, and they have an Oktoberfest beer. Have you tried this year's creation?
Yes, it's very, very good. So, Sierra Nevada partners up with, for the last, I think it's about 5 years, has partnered up with a different brewery in Germany to make their Oktoberfest. And it has been, as we say in the beer writing business, a banger each year. But this year's is particularly good. It's this year they partnered with Bitburg, or the Bitburger, which is a pretty well-known brewery. I mean, they've been selling beer in the United States for quite a while. It's a little bit heartier, a little bit sweeter than some of the previous versions, which have been tended kind of more toward what they call a fest beer, which is a little bit lighter, kind of more traditional of the German approach to the style, to the Oktoberfest style. You know, here in America, we tend to kind of caramel it up a little bit, and it tends to be a little bit sweeter. But and this one is a little bit more toward that, so it's very, very nice beer.
What are some Wisconsin beers you can only get during the season?
Well, one of the big kind of mysteries to me is why somebody doesn't make a year-round Marzen or an Oktoberfest. I think, you know, that having a month in the name of the style makes it kind of difficult to trot one out in March. But it's such a popular style. I'm surprised that somebody's not making a Marzen, you know, year round. Most of the Oktoberfests are seasonal, or all the Oktoberfests are seasonal. Obviously, you know, there's other directions that you can go for a fall beer as well.
Like what direction?
So, I mean, pumpkin beer is a big one that's been around for quite a while. Pumpkin beers were huge around like 2014, 2015.
That's when we got the spice latte, the pumpkin spice latte on the horizon.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everything was pumpkin, even
right.
Our beer.
Yeah. I saw some pumpkin spice ice cream in the cooler yesterday.
Yeah.
But pumpkin beers are still around, and I think it's a legitimate style, and it's quite good, and we have some pretty good examples made here in Wisconsin. Lakefront's pumpkin lager has been around a long, long time, and two weekends ago, I guess it is now, at the Great American Beer Festival out in Denver, which is, you know, pretty much the biggest beer festival in the country and has one of the most prestigious beer competitions in the world. There was the gold medal in pumpkin beer was awarded to Stevens Point Brewery's Whole Hog Pumpkin Ale, which was the fourth time that this beer has won a medal and the second gold. So it's
that's a big deal.
Yeah, it is. And it's a great beer. There's a lot of ways to go with pumpkin in beer, but this one's pretty hearty. I think it's over 7% alcohol by volume, so it's pretty boozy, pretty big, as
mm-hmm.
we call it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the spice level is up there. So you got that kind of nutmeg and cinnamon and
there's lots of flavors colliding in your mouth.
Yeah, it is. But you know, the key to these beers is that they're not over the top with that stuff. That it's balanced, and I think that's why a lot of the good ones tend toward kind of the bigger, base, so that you can get a lot of spices in there and still have that malt sweetness to kind of balance everything out.
Right. You have to be really careful with all of that competition going into your beer because you don't want to, you know, overpower anything. It's like, you know what? There's still the beer here, right?
Yeah. You don't want to make it the beer version of the cinnamon challenge where you just take a mouthful of spice. Not good.
It is a roundup of favorite autumn beers with Chris Drosner as our guide. He's executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine, and he also writes about beer for the Wisconsin State Journal. Do you drink the same beer year-round, no matter what the weather? What do you think about people who switch beers based on the season? Join in with your thoughts, 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Back in a moment. More conversation here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're sampling autumn beers here on Wisconsin Weekend. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. So these crisp, cool nights, they call for darker, maltier, more complex beers to warm up with. And there are Wisconsin craft brewers who are taking full advantage of the season. We're on a tour of beers for sweater weather, getting your favorite ones of the fall. Join in 800-642-1234. Do you drink the same beer year-round? What do you think about switching beers based on the season? Chris Drosner is from Milwaukee Magazine, and he writes about beer. Chris, we were talking about the pumpkin influence. What about the cherry influence in fall? Do notes of cherry come in during the autumn beers?
Not quite so much.
Okay.
There's, because the harvest is during the summer for cherries. That harvest drives a lot of the kind of decisions that brewers make with their seasonal beers, not just because they're kind of top of mind for
mm-hmm.
people, but
mm-hmm.
but I mean there's all this stuff and there's all this fruit that's available, so they do kind of capitalize on the timeliness of the harvest. And I mentioned the pumpkins. Obviously, it's pumpkin season, but it's also apple season.
I was going to say, what about the apple harvest?
Yeah, that's a big one. And there's a few, apple beers, are not as it's not quite as big of a thing as pumpkin beers, I think. And obviously there's apple, there's hard cider. If you want to drink something that's alcoholic, with kind of that's apple based, there's a whole range of craft ciders that are doing amazing things with other ingredients and that sort of thing that in the same way that craft brewers are. But there are a handful of really good apple beers that are made in Wisconsin. In fact, one just came out. There's a new one, new entry from New Glarus, which is probably the best brewery in the state, I would say.
Oh.
Probably not close. it's a specialty limited release beer that they're calling Berliner Apfel, mm-hmm. Which is the German word for apple. So it uses a Berliner Weiss base, which is a real light, slightly tart wheat beer, and they aged it with they fermented it and aged it with a whole bunch of apples from the Kickapoo Valley, and it's
so
spontaneously
very local.
It's spontaneously fermented, which is a very traditional Belgian technique. And man, I had my first one last night, and it is very, very good. It's like a kind of sweet sour dynamic something, and there's a lot of apple character both in the aroma and the flavor. It's a little bit like it's an inherently sour beer, and then the apples kind of come in there. So there's the sweetness and the sour playing together.
Mm.
The overall kind of flavor ends up being just a little bit on the sweeter side from a Granny Smith. It's really tasty.
Well, before we have to let you go, some of your favorite breweries for autumn beers are Titletown, Green Bay, Lakefront, Milwaukee, Ale Asylum in Madison, Three Sheeps in Sheboygan, and Potosi in Potosi. Mm-hmm. So where should we start? What is one beer that we should start out with for autumn beers?
Well, I think all of those are, I mean, to me, the top autumn beer is the Oktoberfest, mm-hmm. for just about every brewery, including all the ones that you mentioned there. There's a couple different ways to go, as I mentioned earlier, with the Oktoberfest style. One is more toward the kind of traditional German fest beer, which is a little bit lighter, both in color and flavor. It's a little bit lighter in body as well. So, and you know, if you like something, more on that end of the scale, I would really recommend the Ale Asylum Octillion. I think that's a really excellent style, or an excellent iteration of the style that's kind of on the easier, more drinkable end. I mean, Oktoberfests are all pretty drinkable, but this one's kind of a particular crusher. On the little bit more robust side of things is the Titletown Oktoberfest called Bent Tuba.
Okay.
Which is a nice little Oompa Oompa reference there.
And we're going to have to leave it there at that reference. Chris, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Chris Drosner is executive editor of Milwaukee Magazine and a longtime reviewer of Wisconsin brewers. He joined us from WPR Studios in Milwaukee. He also writes about beer for the Wisconsin State Journal. And now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum answering a Wisconsin question about an iconic state symbol.
We recently received a question from a listener named Patty. She asked, why are people into wearing cheese heads? I mean, we all have our personal reasons for plopping giant triangles of yellow foam on our heads or wearing wedge earrings to every single Wisconsin sporting event, from football to baseball, college to the pros. But let's go back to the beginning, to one of the first times a person cut up a piece of foam, declared it cheese, and wore it on their head. It all started with taunts from Chicago sports fans in the 1980s.
Our lovely neighbors to the south from Illinois have been affectionately calling us Wisconsinites cheeseheads for quite a period of time, and even though they love to spend their time and money up here, which is great, they call us cheeseheads.
That's Ralph Bruno.
Which didn't offend me because personally, I love cheese.
And throughout the 80s, Wisconsin dominated U.S. cheese production, churning out more than 1.5 billion pounds of cheese each year. Bruno decided he wanted to own that cheesehead insult. So while reupholstering his mom's couch in 1987, he cut out a triangle chunk of foam, burned holes into it, and painted it. He threw the hat into a bag and went off to County Stadium to tailgate with his friends before a Brewers game.
And my buddies, we were having our Pabst Blue Ribbons, and when it came time to go into the for the game, I pulled it out and put it on my head, and people started calling me a cheesehead and pointing at me.
Bruno says it shocked his friends because he considered himself a shy guy. But then
a girl came running up to me and wanted to try it on, and my buddies were watching how girls were running up to me for the first time ever. And so they were then took the hat, and we had fun playing with it throughout the game. So
2 weeks later, Bruno founded the company Foamation.
Over in this area is our, we call the main production area.
Today, Foamation employees produce everything from foam cheese bow ties to Christmas tree toppers, all in the Walker's Point neighborhood in Milwaukee. On this particular morning, one worker trims the edges off foam cheese baseball hats. CJ Williams is about to make a classic cheesehead hat. He preps the wedge-shaped mold.
So I put the wax around the little edges and stuff so it doesn't stick to it all the way. It doesn't make it rip a lot, you know.
Then he fills a cup with a bright yellow liquid.
This is the product that goes into it. This is the coloring. This is what makes the money.
Williams blends the liquid, then quickly pours it into the mold. It starts to foam and harden fast. After a bit, Williams proudly unveils a fresh cheese head.
It's actually pretty cool because, like, how many people can actually say, like, oh, I work where they make the cheese heads? And people be like, nah, they're made up in Green Bay, but they're really made here. I live in Wisconsin, you know, I always support the cheese, you know what I'm saying?
As much as Williams loves making cheese heads, people are just as proud to wear them. Cheesehead pride really hit its stride about 20 years ago. While some of the first cheesehead sightings were at County Stadium, they eventually made the leap to Lambeau Field. Again, Ralph Bruno.
In the mid-90s, when good old Brett Favre came into town, it kind of exploded on the scene there up in Lambeau. And that year, we couldn't make enough of them. We expanded our production like 600%.
And since then, Bruno has helped Wisconsinites take ownership of the word cheesehead.
It's like a badge of honor. It's really more about the essence of who we are. You don't have to be born here. It's grown outside of just about the cheese and more about the mindset of the Midwestern mentality, the openness that we have, the outgoingness that we have, not just, you know, somebody wearing a hat. It's kind of a cultural thing, I guess.
This story about cheeseheads came from an audience question as part of the Wisconsin Project. Submit your question and we might answer it in a future Wisconsin Life segment. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And Wisconsin Life is part of our weekly edition of Wisconsin Weekend here on The Morning Show. What's happening in your part of the state that could reach all corners of Wisconsin? Send your ideas to mornings@WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is Wisconsin Weekend on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We never sleep on Sunday. Reading all the signs.